story to overwrite everything that they know that they come to the trade in, because I didn't come over here with that style. You had to learn, you had to participate, you had to adopt and utilize and apply to yourself to become this culture that was not yours. You had to fit in. So now since your foot is in the door, I think y'all just went to this y'all had your own personal meeting, and y'all came up with y'all being the founding fathers of hip-hop, the pioneers, the creators, inventors of hip-hop, and that shit stuck. And at one point in time, because the researching game and the internet wasn't really available, internet wasn't even there, but the availability of information, we had to go with what the oral tradition was that word of mouth. So now the internet, the abundance of information that's available, we became to realize like, oh nah, something is missing here. So this had to be an agenda that they was doing, because they know they were the outsiders. From the beginning, they was the outsiders. You wasn't hip. So you had to adopt, take, recreate, reinvent, and put your stamp on it, family. You can't let that happen. The phone lines is open right now. Let me put this goddamn number in there. Let me put the number in. I need some phone calls right now. Somebody give me a call. I want to know what the fuck is on your mind. 6193. Call, and I would like to know y'all thoughts. The number is right there. What's y'all thoughts? Let me look at this chat before we continue. Court was on BET receiving a standing ovation. Now, once did he said shout out to the true founders? Yeah, you know what I mean? I know I can't play that though, but absolutely. You mean he collaborated with hip hop artists? I don't know if you told me. Number one, no one said Bouncy Killer was a rapper. He said he made up a rap song, but he doesn't rap. Right, therefore was influenced and is just an extension of imitation of Black. That's right, Mr. Black. I want to see if anybody gonna call in. What's up? The phone line should be ringing off the fucking hook right now. Where is Ja John? Where is Jamaica singer? Jamaica singer, can you please call in, please? Because let's have this discussion. See. Y'all don't want to call in, but just want to hit the buttons. That's right, Grand Master Flowers. Yes, shout out to him. Rest in peace from Brooklyn. Absolutely. We're going to chop it up about him as well. I just want to hear what these people have to say. We got 323. We got Cali. Bars. You on the air. What's up, man? What's your thoughts? Area code 323. What's up? Lord have mercy. Area code 323. Can you hear me, family?
Yes.
Please do me a favor. Please mute your background. Listen to the phone, not the TV or whatever else you're looking at. Please.
All right. First of all, when you take a look at music history, it takes that.
Do me a favor. Talk up a little bit louder, please. Thank you.
Okay. When you look at music, it dates back to Africa. You see guitars in Egypt and so forth. I'm a musician. I'm a jazz musician. So on top of that, I'm going to break it down to you where you can understand what's really going on today. And that is, the African rhythm is what's called 3/4. And if you use the African black rhythm, it's doom, 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 doom. Okay? Now, if you take that element right there and you take some of the beats out, okay, you'll get the ding, 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 ding. Okay, that ding, 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 that's in jazz. That's the ride cymbal, because jazz is played ding, ching, ding, ching, ding, ching, ding, ching, ding. Okay?
Now, hold on. I know where you're going. I know where you're going. And only thing I'm saying is, however, how you formulate it, and I respect it. I let me say this, because I love to choose my words carefully. So I respect where you're trying to go. I can get where you're going with it. I just want to say our culture and African culture are two different things. And we, especially in this day and time, we do not identify with that African spirit. I can have it. Can you please stay on topic, please? I'm being respectful. I don't want to hear that because that's how we all look at it. Even the world was created by a wave. Waves make sound. You know, that vibration. We all have that DNA connection somewhat. But we are our own different ethnic tribe, ethnic group. It's like there's plenty of it's tribalism out there. They have their own different flavors, their own different style. All of them don't sound the same. So everybody has their own identity. So I'm not going to apply or acknowledge their style to ours. It's two different styles. And if you look at it right now, we have been the ultimate dominant influencer of the planet. And I'm not excluding no island, no country, no fucking state, or no continent. I don't identify with that African shit. They can have it and shove it. Is there anything else you need to say, sir?
I just say this briefly, okay? From that Afrobeat, trap, all of that, from blues, it's all the same music. You know what I mean? It's just different styling, and then other cultures tried to attempt at that styling, and theirs was different. And that's what I would say when it goes into Jamaican. From the jazz, the horns doing it, the guitar plays, the horns in jazz. So it's all the same. That's basically what I'm saying. It's just different variations.
Like somebody said, it's ancestral. You know, there's a link. You know, but I get it. But me personally, with all of this anti-Black Americanism, I'm not trying to be in the forefront. I am just my own individual expressing what our people been feeling and didn't express for a long fucking time. Now the cat is out the bag. Black Americans has had enough. We don't want any links to anybody. Keep your shit, shove it. Keep it, shove it. I want no connection or no link. Sorry. And, sir, I just want to say respect to you, much love, and I appreciate your call. Thank you very much, sir. Have a blessed one. And you was kind of breathing hard, so I don't know if you went to sleep or not. But I just want to say, at this point in time, I'm starting to get the itis a little bit. I did have some Jamaican food, so I probably got the itis right now. So let me see, man. I just want to say this real quick. Whew, I'm getting tired now. I do not want to associate like that. Like, I don't hate you. I don't hate y'all. It's just that we've been looked down upon for all of this time. And is we have the right to feel like, okay, we're going to give you exactly what you want. Let's culturally separate. I don't mean we can't do business, party together, none of that. It's just, we just going to keep this shit. We going to fuck with each other on certain levels. You know, the person that you fuck with, you only hang with them because when we go out, we have fun, or it's good to fuck with bitches with this person, or a good drinking partner or whatever, but when it comes down to anything else, you can't really fuck with them. So with different levels you deal with people on, is a certain common denominator y'all have, that thing in common that will make y'all click or fuck with each other. So we can just click on a certain level. After that, just get the fuck, we will get the fuck out of here. We'll go about our business, you go about your business. I don't want to be attached to Africa. I'm done. And I was a big pan-African. I got chains, wooden chains. I got umps. I got pictures of Africa. I got shirts with Africa on it. I've even lost a couple of people by being that. I lost a couple of people for being a Pan-Africanist or speaking at Africa. I've been doing it for a long time, only to get smacked in the face. I don't want to be associated with it. We don't care anymore. I really don't fucking care. Like, I don't care. That shit is, especially which I did to the Grandmasters, they did so much. I'm sorry if I'm prologuing. I don't care if y'all drop out because I'm talking. Beat it. It really doesn't matter to me. Our Grandmasters spent 50, 60, 70 years preaching and talking, going around the world to universities and schools and colleges, having debates, worldwide debates, to prove to the world how great Africa is. There's documentation of this shit. There's nothing which our funky, stink, ugly-looking motherfuckers has done over there to build up the black Americans here. Y'all don't come. Y'all don't participate. A little sprinkle here and there. Fuck you. Plain and simple. Fuck that niggas. Period. I don't want to be attacked. I don't want Africa attached to me. I don't care. And I'm sorry. And then the rest of y'all trying to take us out of our fucking culture, use our shit. Look, sorry. That's just what it is. We all have to think that way because we so used to being kind and feeling sorry that we thinking arrogantly. Oh nah, you know what? Nah, no. Ain't no sorry. I'm not saying act violent towards them or no, just detach yourselves. Detach mentally, culturally detach because we have our own. They already following our own already. Let's detach from everybody that wants to just look down upon our culture, but most importantly, use the resources that we fought and bled for, and they benefit and live off of our shit. It's just culturally detached. Duke, hurry up, nigga, before so I can press play. What you want, Duke? Now, what's, what's good? What's good, boy?
Yo.
What's up?
What up, bro, man? Much love. Much love to you, man. Yo, I'm loving your show, kid. For real. Yo, rest in peace to DJ Flowers, man, for sure. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Rest in peace to DJ Flowers, man. What I wanted to say real quick, and, you know, I said I wasn't going to call your ass and shit, but this is too deep. This is too deep. Listen, man, we have to detach. We have to detach. It's a fact. It's a must. It's needed. It's very much needed. You dig? I remember Marcy Pool, them Rican was around, and they wasn't getting in the pool with us over there at Marcy Pool over there on Kosciuszko, yo. Fucking getting in the water with us. They keep talking about the clear blue water that they got over there in them islands and over there where they be at, the murky water. Well, why the fuck y'all here then?
Why
y'all got so many... Our water is filthy.
We jump into the Coriano water and grow another arm, nigga. I was
yes, sir. Or get a hypodermic needle on your arm, kid, or your leg.
Yeah,
you dig? What? So, y'all motherfuckers coming over here with hard bottom shoes and white tool socks with shorts on and shit, and the wild color shirts and shit. We taught y'all how to dress. We taught y'all how to get down. And y'all cloned yourself after us. And I must say it, I'm not racist against them. You know what I'm saying? I got peoples. But don't try to steal our culture, yo. Don't do it. You got Fat Joe doing the BET Awards? What kind of crap is that?
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Why
is Fat Joe doing the BET Awards?
And I have a feeling that he's going to say that they created hip-hop in this 50-50. I already have a feeling they're going to be on that main stage. I feel they're going to stay on the main stage and promote and push that shit. That's why us, we have to keep our foot on the gas, keep the foot on their neck. Because,
oh, yeah, full throttle on the gas, man. If that, I'm not watching it. I'm telling you right now. And again, I don't have nothing against Fragile. I just really don't fuck with him like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm quite sure he's a great person or whatever, but he called two of our black females dusty, rusty crack bitches.
Yeah, I remember.
And then
that.
Got the nerve to jump on somebody else for calling somebody a bitch. Word?
Right.
Come
right.
on.
Absolutely.
Come on, bro. And yo, that comment, yo, last week, nigga made a comment that said I was in the tank top and baggy jeans. My Duke, whoever said that, yes, the fuck I was. Yup, with my Timbs. Holla.
Oh, you stupid.
Stop taking our stuff. Get your own. That music wasn't here. You got James Brown. You had King Floyd. You understand what I'm saying? You had mad people rapping. You had Muhammad Ali. Get the fuck. Stop.
That's right.
Stop.
Wow.
We was rapping before y'all got here. And I like Buster and Pete Rock. Oh my God, you one of my favorite dudes, man. I can't believe it.
He's a weirdo. He look like a weirdo. Get out of here. You as a no
Pete Rock.
Fuck Pete Rock. Yo, I'm out, man.
Oh man. But I'm like, no doubt. Yo, rest in peace, Heavy D, which is Pete Rock's cousin. Rest in peace, Heavy D. Dundilly Dully Lee D. Yo, nigga. Duke. I'm out.
Peace. Yeah, man, and Heavy D was half Jamaican as well, so, you know, much love to him. But see, he wasn't on that bullshit that they created it, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it's time to separate culturally. P-Rock blocked you, good. Fuck him, man. Fuck him. You can tell he's a weirdo dude. He looked weird. He looked like one of them niggas that don't have no friends, that just, you know, just wanted to fit in and... And it just he's a great producer though. I won't lie on that. We give credit where credit is due, but y'all try to take full credit of something that already was here before y'all niggas even came. Y'all had to be Americanized to even do the things that you have done. You had to follow, mimic, imitate. If we don't want to, that's what I'm saying. We have to. Me and Khalil Kweli used to argue a lot on, he'll argue with anybody, so I'm not trying to make it seem like I've been important or whatever, but me and him used to go at it a lot on Twitter. This was quite some years ago. I could probably say over 4 or 5 years ago. We used to go at it a lot, like a lot. But anyway, like I said, everybody, we should literally, y'all should be under their posts, under their shit, leaving comments on their shit. For real. The niggas is imposters and culture vultures. I'm gonna play a little bit more, man. All right? And because I got an appointment tomorrow. I got a lot of shit I gotta do tomorrow, too. So, and I could probably do a part two because I really do have some shit I gotta do tomorrow. Something very important. But let's continue, though.
Mario, he's the first, like, hip-hop impresario. And when I say that, Mario was really responsible for starting a lot of DJs, giving them a place to play. Remember, there wasn't a lot of clubs. There was the D-Below, Friday's on that, that's on the west side. There really weren't any clubs here. But Mario was able to get to school, 123. So when you hear them old case, 123 the place to be, that's one of the early
right?
of hip-hop.
Mario Tex, the Black Spade DJ, was putting on the jam. Yo, 646, what's up? Who is this?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up? Who's this?
Hello?
Yes,
area code 646, you're on the air. What's going on?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just want to say that Caribbeans, Africans, they siding with the Hispanics against the Black Americans here in New York. I had a best friend that was, she's Jamaican. and Miho fell out over the situation that took place up in Harlem, in the Heights. It was this young black man went in there to make the Hispanic man, the Dominican man, apologize to his family. And then the Dominican man jumped up and started stabbing him and killing him and everything. That was a big thing in New York City not too long ago. That was like last month. And the Jamaicans, the Caribbeans, they were like, free him, free him. And they was calling that young man all kind of, oh, my God, he was calling him everything but the child of God. And that might have been one of their people, but because he was dressed like an American black, they didn't care, you know. So I just want you guys to understand that those people are not our people. Our people are not immigrants. Those are immigrants. We were conned into this game. We were conned. It's to the point that we was almost conned out of our culture. You understand what I'm saying? And now we waking up. I wrote two beautiful songs dedicated to our people. God has put this in me. But I need the right people to sing the songs. I have two of them. I have a song, R&B one I did, and I have a rap. But it's very beautiful. Anyone that sang the song will change their lives. But I just don't have the right people to sing it. Do you know anyone that I can get to sing it so that it can get out there? Because Black America is on the rise.
So nobody's
going to stop that, huh?
So you don't know how to sing?
I'm a writer. One thing I didn't get from our people is how to sing. But I definitely got the writing skills. That's what I got from our people. I definitely know how to write. I can write a story. But I wrote these two songs, and I'm desperately looking for someone to be able to sing them.
All right, what's your name?
My name is Tanya.
Tanya, all right, I got your number. I'll keep in touch with you. All right, and I'll see what's up. Okay.
Keep in touch with me, and I'll send you. I'll let you hear it. I'll send you the what you call that the list where I put it on. I'll send you'll see what I'm talking about. The song is beautiful. I believe God put it in my head. God put it in me for a reason. It's for my people. It's for our people. And like I said, this song here, there's a new day, a new dawn in Black America. We coming, and no one is stopping us. I shine the spotlight is on us. Remember that.
Hey, I'm which one, man? Fact. I'm gonna get in contact with you. Thank you, Tanya. Much love.
Yeah. Much love to you too, brother. Have a blessed night and keep in contact with me. All right, there.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so, and I like what she said. Like, it's almost that we got conned out of our culture. I like that. I really like that. I really, really like that. It's like we got conned out of our culture. A lot of these motherfuckers don't like us, y'all. Anyway. I'm gonna keep it moving. Games in the park catering to other teenagers. Whereas, like, the older crowd, like the disco DJs and the R&B DJs of Brooklyn and Queens, they did it with a generator and they did it, you know, catering to the adult crowd. You know, they put on block parties or whatever out in Brooklyn or Queens, but they did it for the adult crowd. It was a whole different kind of vibe. Mario and Tex and the Black Spade DJs, they was the first putting it on for the young teenagers running wild in the Bronx. You know what I'm saying? They was the ones that was getting the power from the streetlight and everything like that. Mario, Tex, and the Black Spade DJs.
No. Mario played b-boy music.
Right.
You know, yeah, Trek City Crew.
Right.
You know, you have a man like Johnny and all them. They were b-boys.
Right. Okay.
Mario had the beats first.
Yes, Mario was extended break beats in 1975, 1976, but I'm not 100% certain if Mario was extended break beats way back in 1971, 1972.
B-boy music. Break beats.
Right.
And that is the thing that distinguishes hip-hop from regular disco.
You know, unfortunately, Mario's not alive to say what he was doing in 1971, 1972. It's unfortunate. You know, he's not here to say that he was looping the brakes or whatever he was doing. You know, we do have the interview with Paradise the Architect from the Latin Quarter and X-Clan, and he did say that he saw Mario cutting Gotta Get a Nut in the community room, in the carriage room. From my understanding, Gotta Get a Nut came out in 1972.
Kind of unrelated to the Latin Quarters. I do want to ask you this question, man, so we can clear the air and also give people a sense of your history long before X-Clan. You know, your history goes all the way back to Disco King Mario. Explain the importance of Disco King Mario for people who don't.
Well, Disco King Mario was one of the founding fathers of hip-hop also. Everybody knows Herc, everybody knows Bam, but most people don't know a Disco King Mario because, rest in peace, the brother passed away a few years ago. But Mario was the DJ who was running things in the Bronx Dale Project. And the first time I saw hip-hop was in the community room with Disco King Mario cutting up Got to Get a Nut. You know what I'm saying? And from that moment on, I just knew I wanted to be a DJ. It was my destiny.
You lived actually downstairs from Mario.
Yeah, I lived on the first floor with my little cousin Aaron Superman Davis, ex-welterweight champion.
Cutting up means scratching.
And Mario lives on the second floor.
The infamous Bronxdale Project, which is actually right there at the start of what people call Cozy Corner.
You know what I'm saying?
The one that's on the phone, y'all hold on 1 second.
Black Spades.
All of a sudden, him, first it was him and Spanky. Had two little rinky dink fucking turntables.
Right.
Don't make that at the time.
Right.
Two little fucking speakers. I forgot how we went into sound you sent it. We used to play music out here. He said, bring it outside in front of 1715.
Spanky was one of the ones that first started with Mario. Okay, they do stuff in the carriage room. Okay, Spanky was switching because he had two turntables. Spanky was switching the knobs on each side. Going back and forth to change the record.
What kind of mixer was it? What kind of...
They have a mixer. You did it by the amp.
Yeah.
I did it by the amp.
Okay.
So I'm saying you have auxiliaries, you have phono auxiliaries. Okay, that's how you switch it back and forth.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you, that check. That after check, we got offset. No, I think Tyrone and them got their set.
You know, these young teenagers would spray paint all over public property. They would throw the first jams out in the street, you know, music, set up large speakers and equipment out in the street.
The Mac, you couldn't even lift the Mac by yourself. Take two guys.
This is the Macintosh. Right. It takes two people to carry this.
Mm.
We used to try to have Will's wife say, hey, when I had to go upstairs with this, because it's heavy, very heavy.
Demons first went to Macintosh
app. But they had no system like the Big Mac crew.
Right. Mario didn't happen. Mario laid on Gobble.
Right.
And that's how he gets the crew, the Big Mac crew.
Right.
That's where that comes from.
Right. So you're saying you had this in 1973?
Yes, I did, buddy. Yeah.
This is what you brought out of Rosedale Park.
This is what I brought out of the Redditor Speaker Shed. This pushes the power.
Wow.
This is what made them hear the music from all over the place.
Right.
I said, what's that bass? That noise. And they followed the sound to the park.
Right.
He had that Macintosh in. Heavy ass thing, so B was pumping, bam. But and when he would be outside, he played hip hop music for us.
It was for us. I don't think about
that's DJ Cool D, Cool DJ B, before Herc. Hip hop music, equipment, microphones. You heard him say all that bass. They had to follow the sound. Well, God damn it, damn! I really just thought all the bass just came from, you know, from Yard. I really thought that. Damn, how history finds itself, right? Okay.
I would have made it this far.
Okay.
Because we played every day.
Every day. Every day.
When that day go by, we would play.
21 days of summer. Like, when he would come out of his park, and he would have a permit.
Right.
Permission. To come out here and play in his park every day throughout the summer for a whole month straight.
This is the mixer that was the first crossfade mixer in the Bronx. First one. It's a GLI Disco 3800.
The teenagers started bringing out the equipment, and the equipment that they brought out would later become important parts of hip-hop culture. You know, this is the very beginning. This is the spark. So when the teenage DJs, and they brought out the equipment, other teenagers became DJs and emulated it in their neighborhood.
I'm sorry. I just want to say this. I'm going to bring it right back. So I'm going to bring it back, and I'm sorry for interjecting like that, but you see the speakers, right? Those are big speakers. You line them a whole bunch of them up, it gives bass, it gives a sound, even though there was more speakers that was bigger than that they was using, but evidently somehow they are the only ones with speakers, but if you look at our country, you look at other people's country, you how like where would you think that kind of high tech equipment were at first? I got the hand me downs, and then when you seen it, you started creating and making them yourself. Like, come on, stop fucking playing. Stop, can we stop with this shit? Like, y'all the first ones with big speakers. Oh, what do you do? You serious? Come on, get the fuck out of here. I'm sorry, man. Oh, in the mixer, but Flash, somehow, who came? Johnny Come Lately is the one behind it that created it. Okay, cool. These niggas is imposters. All three of them are imposters. They are imposters. Sorry.
This is the mixer that was the first crossfade mixer in the Bronx. First one, this is GLR Disco 3800.
The teenagers started bringing out the equipment, and the equipment that they brought out would later become important parts of hip-hop culture. You know, this is the very beginning. This is the spark. So when the teenage DJs, and they brought out the equipment, other teenagers became DJs and emulated it in their neighborhood, brought it to their neighborhood, and did different things to add to it and transform it. And this is when the culture started to evolve.
People that was DJs came over here. They probably learned their little, you know, saw what they wanted to do over here. Got interested in being a DJ, then they went back over there. Mm. And so now, you know, then I said everything started over there.
This is the first spark, and after the first spark, various other teenagers around the Bronx added to the culture in different ways. You know, one of my highlights of doing Michael Wayne TV for the last 8-9 years, one of my highlights is being able to come in agreement with my elder brother, Charlie Rock, one of the original B-Boy Zulu Kings, on the history of hip-hop.
I want to see if we can agree. Okay. Spades started that energy called hip-hop's energy.
All right, hip-hop's energy begins in the street gang culture, very specifically the blacks.
Okay.
Okay.
Spades started like hip-hop energy. Kool Herc took that energy and created hip-hop music.
That's a good way to put it.
Looping the breaks.
That's a good way to put it.
Right. Okay.
Okay? That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Because you got to give Herc his credit. Right. He's the father of what today is known as hip-hop.
Okay.
But that energy comes out of the gang culture and the black space.
I want to say that energy basically came out of Bronxville.
All right, if you want to say that, that's right. Fine. I mean, the black space started in Bronxville.
Right.
You're not trying to take credit for all the hip-hop, right?
No. You're not trying to take credit for all the hip-hop.
Right. Y'all just sparked it, and other DJs just took it to another level.
Right. Right.
Everybody put their own creativity in it, and they, everybody did their own thing. You had a Flash who came in with the spin back. You had Theodore with the picking up the needle. And you have other DJs like Breakout. We're doing this thing uptown. You know what I mean? Mm.
Hip hop is an embodiment of five elements.
The brothers were the ones that started breakdancing.
We used to go to this place called the Shaft. We used to go to the tunnel.
And Clark Kent, Zulu King, original breakdance. Of course, we give full credit to Kool Herc as providing the platform for them to breakdance and do all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? But as far as where it all came from, as far as the evolution of breakdance, you got to go back to the Black Spades.
Right, John, we used to call it Wild Dance.
Wild Dance. Okay.
We used to call it Wild. We used to call it Wild.
The Black Spades had a dance where it's basically the beginning of breakdancing. Breakdancing basically evolved from the Black Spades doing their dances. The Black Spades would actually do like fighting tactics on the dance floor. They was the ones who broke away from mainstream dances, you know, like the twist. You know, back in the Bronx, like I said, the Bronx
Bronx was basically dominated by Caucasians. So you had a lot of mainstream dances like Twist, Mashed Potato, or whatever the dance was. Black Spade Teenagers was the ones who broke away from that. And they formed their own wild dance on the dance floor. The next generation of teenagers took it to the next level. You know what I'm saying? But it all evolved from the Black Spade who broke away from mainstream type of dancing.
Would you say the Spade Dance was the beginning of the breakdance?
Yeah, I'd say yeah.
So the breakdance came from y'all.
Yeah,
I'd
say the breakdance started with the Spades, you know.
The breakdance come from y'all?
Yeah.
It did?
You damn right.
Wow. The breakdance, you used to get a brother and that was a Spade. I said, yo, what's up, man? We did it for a book. What's up? Like this. What's up? That's where that come from. What's up? Like this.
How was y'all boogieing, partying with boots on?
Oh, back then, that's when we was going to, gang parties.
Right.
You know,
we
smell down, we dress.
All right, look. Yeah,
right.
I'm going to skip it right here. This is where you hit Kool Herc himself. Right here. Hold on. Let me go to it right here. All right, look, the culture part four, an immigrant joined our culture and became hip-hop, meaning it became hip, it became Black Americanized, it became hip-hop because our culture was hip-hop. Now, listen to what Kool Herc said. Let me mute my mic now.
Some of those dudes, that's where the game comes from. And some of those... If you look at it right, you had clubs that were in existence. I was too young to go to those clubs, the Tunnel and the Puzzle.
Now it became B-boy music.
If you look at it right, you had clubs that were in existence. I was too young to go to those clubs, the Tunnel and the Puzzle. And some of those did.
I'm gonna let it play out, then I'm gonna go back and go through it. He said he was too young for the Tunnel. Anyway, I'm sorry. Became B-boy music.
If you look at it right, you had clubs that were in existence. I was too young to go to those clubs, the Tunnel and the Puzzle. And some of those dudes, that's where the game come in. And some of that music, you can put it in. And he did this more specifically for the B-boys. Because he saw that. And he saw that when we danced to the break. Not the whole song, the break. When we started hitting the floor, and so he extended the break.
From my understanding, Kool Herc was an immigrant from Jamaica. Shout out, salute Jamaica, North Jamaican. From my understanding, Kool Herc was an immigrant, came from Jamaica, and he analyzed the party scene of the Bronx. And at that time, there was the youth gangs in control of the streets, in control of the party, taking over the party. But to keep it real, before Kool Herc even got to party with us African-Americans, he had to get broken in. He had to get broken into our culture. He had to get shown what was fly, what was dope, what was fresh. He had to get shown what's the joint. Kool Herc had to get broken into our culture. Fashion is a part of culture. So his fashion was all off. Like his fashion was not compatible with hip-hop. His fashion was not compatible with our hip-hop culture. Kool Herc, from my understanding, he was like a hick. He was like a lurch. This is from his own words, how he was getting snapped on. You know, he didn't fit in our culture. So he had to get broken down and adapt to African-American culture.
What surprised you most about what the styles were when you got to New York? You know, were the clothes different?
Yeah. I didn't have the hip clothes either. I had on the hick clothes. I had on the aviator hat that pull over your ears and the flip up top. I had the wide corduroy jacket on. I looked straight like a hick. And then I had on, I love cowboy boots. I'm back in Jamaica and watching cowboy pictures. So I thought that, you know, cowboy boots was, you know, was the bomb. When I got in, got a pair of cowboy with the boots, this girl in high school, junior high school, teased me to death. She got on Rose Killers. And she had a whole hallway to tear me up. Rose Killers, and all that.
But they called your cowboy boots Roach Killers.
Yes, that is pointy toe. They called any pointy toe shoes like that. It was called Roach Killers. They could get in the corner and kill a roach with it.
And this is a very important footnote in hip-hop history. If we talk about hip-hop, this is a very important fact about hip-hop history. Sorry, I just ran back to the scene. Did y'all hear that? That he dressed like a hick and his idols, what he thought was the bomb, was those cowboys when he was watching those cowboy movies in Jamaica. When he first came here, he was dressing like a cowboy. I said this a couple of lives ago. Dressing like a cowboy. You walking around dressing, looking like a cowboy. You was not an insider. You was an outsider. You was trying to fit the fuck in. And you try to holler at a chick walking around with some goddamn pointy-ass cowboy boots with the little spurs on the back, thinking you somebody. Thinking you the shit. Thinking how you dressed where you came from was just going to outshine everybody. Everybody's going to be like, oh, wow. Well, damn, where you get those from? Nah, they called his ass John Wayne. Okay? Cowboy. And them shoes, the goddamn roach killers. You had to fit in our style. You didn't influence a motherfucking thing. You did not, or y'all did not influence a motherfucking thing culturally. The style, the swag, the talk, the slang, everything. You had to force yourself to abide by the street gang rules, nigga. The culture, the hip-hop culture. You had to be hip. That's why you, hey, man. Man, that's hip, man. That's hip, man. Word. Stop. Y'all niggas need to stop acting like now y'all niggas is big head. I'm telling y'all, fuck these niggas. I'm going to leave it right there because I've been here too long. I'm playing a couple of more things and I'm out. All right. Oh, hold on. Let me take these calls while I set up the other thing. So I'm going to go to area code 734-909 and 914. And y'all please have to make it quick. Area code 731. You got 1 minute. Peace. What's up? Area code 734.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm all right. I think one of the problems with us as a people, with our culture, is we so easy to smile and accept people into our culture.
Yes,
and
sir.
Over the centuries, our culture has been robbed and diluted repeatedly. So now we're in another area where it's being done all over again. Now if you look at what's going on politically and what's going on in this country, all of the immigrants that they're flooding into the country that are not of dark skin, and they're putting them in our communities. They're giving them housing. They're giving them funding.
Yes.
They're giving them everything. And they're purposely doing this because they want to keep a foot on our neck and make it seem as if this is the people who influenced these urban communities and made these changes, even though we do the crimes and the things that we do. But if you look at the black businesses that have prospered within the last 6 years, how do you combat that? You put more people that don't look like them into the community and you give them money. So now you make the economy crash to where these black businesses can't stay sustain themselves. Then what do? They force the sale. It's the same thing they did when they brought the Arab and the Easterners into this country, when they bought out all the mom and pop grocery stores and liquor stores and gas stations. So they're doing it again. And what we got to start doing is stop smiling in everybody's face and trying to sing kumbaya. Because all of us were here, 90% of colored people were here in this country before it even became America.
Right.
And the problem is, if we go back to looking at that, that's why they wanted to take everything from solid book, text, writing, and paper, because it was recorded in black and white and putting it on Wikipedia because it can be diluted. That's why they took the Encyclopedia Britannica from us, because it was too much truth in those two sets that told about what went on. Contractually, the European...
Sorry to stop your wisdom. Sorry to cut off your wisdom. You remember when... I mean, my sister used to have the whole collection of the what you call it? The encyclopedias.
Encyclopedia Britannica. I have both sets.
Oh, man. I remember the burgundy red book. And I remember that shit. Good thing. I remember.
Okay, so if you look at history through those books, it told you a lot about who was here beforehand. How can the Queen sanction anything if she don't own it? The European was only supposed to be on the East Coast from the waterway in the West Coast from the waterway for trading purposes only. This is, the United States is nothing but old Rome on new soil, first off.
Right.
So how do you take over a large landmass from indigenous groups of people? You wage war with them not knowing that you're coming. Remember the Warner Brothers cartoon when it said Trader Joe's territory, and it showed the Europeans on the East Coast. So they had to wage war economically. They waged war, and the brothers and sisters didn't know what was going on. All they knew is they was at war with these people. That's, if they were so powerful, they would have took all of North and South of America, but it was too many dark-skinned people there. Now, this thing about the what they call the Indian today, and they put them on reservations, it's the same thing as a house nigga. The master go out, he make a key about his black woman, he bring the baby in the house. Same thing that he did with the indigenous people when they came over here and conquered them and they didn't know where they were at war. What did he do? He took his fair-complected offsprings and he put them on reservations and called them Indian. Same thing with the Arabics. They were dark until the Romans took wage war with them, and then that's over a period of time they became light-complected, speaking the same language. It's the same thing over and over again. And if we get our heads out of our ass and stop bullshitting with these people, we'll see things totally different.
Yeah.
Because we are never – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, you know, they did the same in Brazil. I used to watch documentaries of the whitening of Brazil. Like, they was sending people from Australia, from Europe, paying them to go live in Brazil to lighten up, basically have babies by the natives there, or the, you know, the black people there, to lighten it up, you know. So that's what they've been doing. They've been doing that all over the fucking globe. So that's a tactic that they use, and they've been winning, man. So what is the solution in closing? Because there's other people waiting.
To me, the solution is simple. We gotta stop letting these celebrities speak on our behalf, because they've been sold out when they first got their couple million. The celeb, stop idolizing these people, because they don't mean you no damn good. Because with all them black celebrities in Hollywood and wherever, the shit that we going through now as a race of people could have been eradicated a long time ago. But we spend our money on their music. True enough, it's entertaining. But what do we get supportively from them? Ain't none of them trying to become politicians. Ain't nobody trying to hey, let's pool together. That's why we're going through what we're going through with Russia and China. Same thing Omar Gaddafi was doing. And a white boy told me yesterday, man, the American dollar is about to be over. You want it to be over? Who gives a fuck? Because at the end of the day, this is... That's all they doing is bankrupting the fucking queen, who been causing problems within the Vatican Church for centuries, taking land from people and taking the languages and taking everything and hiding it in the fucking cave. Excuse my language, but that's just what it is. So when we wake up and stop bullshitting with these people, stop trying to sit at the table and eat dinner with these folks, we will be a lot better and a stronger group of people, and start supporting each other and start supporting everybody else's business. Be inventors. Because I ain't never seen a black man own a gun manufacturing company. But he created the automobile.
Yeah.
We ain't creating airplanes. We need to get on that same level they on. That's the only way we gonna fight that war and win.
Yeah. That's another topic for another time. And like I said, I'm just waiting on something. I do have things kind of, I have a lot of things locked up. I'm just waiting in a couple of days. But like I said, like, these kind of conversations going to have to happen on a different platform. I have that already. I just have to add a little bit more stuff to it. And these conversations
right.
are not had on YouTube. But I'm telling y'all going to have to, it's going to be a membership, $10 a month. Is it going to kill anybody? So these conversations has to be had off this. Everything should not be on YouTube. and YouTube is cracking down on black commentators. I hope y'all know that. But at the end of the day, brother, I want to say thank you. I definitely appreciate your knowledge. I appreciate your call. And just calling again, man. I definitely appreciate you. But if I remember you, so I'm just looking at the number. It's been a minute.
This Tubia.
Hey, Tubia. It's been a minute. What's going on, fam?
Nothing much. I just say I hadn't tuned in to you for a minute because I had been so busy with other people and stuff. And like with
right.
the men's meeting and stuff that we have every Wednesday. So they trying to put something together here because I'm from Detroit.
Right. Okay. Well, look, man, you can call on the show and you can, talk about it on here as well, have the people on there and, you know, and we can collaborate like that. So, you know, it's all good, man. But I appreciate your call, too.
All right, man. Y'all take it easy and y'all stay up.
All right. Peace. Yeah, man. Give me a call 909. And after this, I don't, no more calls. And after the 914 number, give me a call 909. What's up?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, man. I'm the one. I published. I had an article published in your web, called "Debunking the Lies of Hip Hop," and it was published May 2nd of this year. And I went in on this thing with Pete Rock and Busta Rhymes. And I'm gonna tell you like this, bro. They lying and they know they lying. Period. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, how are you going to be from New York and not know the real deal? And the other thing is this. You're going to have these documentaries coming out, these books coming out, and all this kind of stuff, and nobody says nothing about the OGs that Michael Wayne was interviewing? Come on, man. Well,
exactly.
I mean, what's that all about? And this is my question. Yeah, everybody's been pointing out the old footage of, what's my man, Kool Herc. But where is Kool Herc at these days?
That's what I've been saying. The ones that have to speak out is Flash and Herc because Bam is hiding somewhere in another country with like six little boys. I'm not making a joke of it. We all know he likes little boys and grown men as far as we know. And he likes them rough. He likes rough men. And I don't care how y'all think it. That's what it is.
Rebecca, say it again. Who are you talking about?
Bam Bada is not going to talk about
with
his minions. So, but Herc and Flash should speak up and put and hell to the fire. Okay, continue.
Because the thing that gets me with Buster, and you notice everybody been coming after Buster, and he ain't spoken up yet.
Buster,
he didn't expect this smoke, bro. I'm telling you. See, here's the deal. The folks have gotten accustomed to black folk not saying nothing. And all of a sudden, now folks say, oh, no, hell no, we're not going to have this. They're not used to this kind of smoke. They're not.
And it's all good. You want to keep that smoke going because they should literally understand that we are saving and preserving our goddamn culture. That can't stop
right.
it and just... Like you said, we've been quiet for too long. Now we're opening our mouths. We have to stop. We have to stop. No, that's it.
And if you
no
go
more.
And if you go through my article, I said one of the things I said in there. I said this whole thing with the hip hop thing is emblematic of a much deeper problem. You see, and the thing is this: when Busta Rhymes, and I want everybody to hear me. When Busta Rhymes is talking out the side of his neck, talking about America don't have a culture, and how black folks in America, we don't have a culture. Understand this. Yeah, we get on the ones who talk that stuff, and you got some of these foreigners talking that stuff, but guess what? The first ones to say that we don't have a culture were black Americans themselves. I'm sorry, that's real. I remember hearing that and giving pushback to that kind of stuff. So here's the deal. You had foreigners, be they African or Caribbean, who was ear hustling. They heard that. And then what you do, you further embolden them with their chauvinism. That's what it is. So what has happened is we're now at a point where we're all going to have to circle the wagons and say, hey, look, the buck stops here, Jack. We can't have this no more, period.
Absolutely. Shout out to my boy Mega. I don't know if you're listening on the low because we had that discussion the last time I was live that he don't, I forgot. How you put it, but basically he felt that America doesn't have a culture. So, and I already broke that down. I'm not going through that whole thing again, but I broke it down and everybody understood. But we just agreed to disagree. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
In conclusion, Hank.
Well, look, I'm not going to hold up. I know you've been on for a while, and I appreciate what you're doing. And the more of us need to keep doing this. But please, if you haven't checked out my article, I sent it in the chat, I think it was, about did you see that?
Put it in there now so I could click on the link. I'm going to have to switch this view. Dan, put it in there right now.
Okay. All right now. All right, I'm about to hang up.
All right. Thank you for the call, King. Put it in the chat right now. Please.
All right.
All right. We got New Rochelle, Yonkers, or Westchester, Mount Vernon, area code 914. What's up?
Yeah. What's good, Mike? You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yep. All right. No. This is the Bronx, baby boy. This is the Bronx. I had to change my number because, you know what I'm saying? It's the Bronx. All right. I'm gonna try to be quick and concise, yo. I appreciate what you're doing, Mike. I really do. Shout out to you. I want to say fuck Buster. I want to say, you know what I'm saying, fuck Fat Joe, you know what I'm saying, and fuck anybody else who get the story twisted, who tries to re-narrate the shit or change the story or history, because I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to just go ahead and continue. Hip-hop originates in the Bronx. Its origin is of Black America, not Latinos, not no Jamaican. People confuse contributing to a culture with creating a culture, and that's a huge difference. I pay respect to whatever origins of anything is as a creative. You know what I'm saying? I hate seeing plagiarism. That's why I had a huge problem with Drake when he first came out, and I found out he didn't write his own rhymes. Because like fashion, if you don't if your shit was whack, your shit was whack. That's just not cool. It's part of hip hop. Similarly, if you don't write your own rhymes as an MC, that was a taboo. That's taboo. Like, get the fuck out of here with that shit. You know what I'm saying? If you're an R&B artist, that's one thing. The people use your voice. They use your voice as a talent. That's all right. You can have a ghostwriter in R&B, but don't bring that shit to hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Much respect to the ghostwriter making his money, but you ain't getting no respect if you use a ghostwriter or whatever the fuck. That's just a taboo. It's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? So I used to make fun of Drake being Canadian, but speaking of Canadians, I just want to say rest in peace to Pat State, you know, because it seems he understood what hip-hop was all about as a battle rapper. Another thing is we influence everybody. This is a global billion-dollar culture. Ain't nobody influenced us to do shit but this life that we live. This life that we live is how we fuck as how this shit was birthed. And motherfucking hip hop is it's a multitude of things. It's not no fucking it's not rapping. It's not just this and a third and shit like it's crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if the powers that be are behind this shit causing problems. The same way they changed the whole fucking music industry around 1991 when they had that conference. You know what I'm talking about with the privately owned prisons and shit and trying to get motherfuckers invested in this motherfucker. I know you know what I'm talking about, Mike. I don't want to get too much into that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like how they blackballed all these conscious rappers and shit from putting out conscious music so they could go ahead and promote fucking violence and shit like that, so they could fuel the fucking privately owned prisons, which shouldn't be a fucking legal thing. But that's a whole different conversation. That's straight up, yo. I hate the internet and I love it at the same time, yo. That's it. That's all I gotta say.
Right. Hey, man. Great call. Thank you, King. You stay up, stay safe, my G.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just got a shit on. It was a rampage shooting spree in Memphis. A man live streamed himself firing at several victims from a car prompted a citywide lockdown before police detained the suspect after several hours. Wow, that's crazy. I'm just hearing about that shit right now. It just came to my phone. If y'all enjoying yourself, please make sure you hit that like button. If y'all would love to donate to the platform. Definitely donate to the platform. Show some love to the platform. That's not going to kill y'all. But I'm about to play this Big Daddy Kane thing. And there's so much that I could play. It's going to be so long. And I've already been here going on 3 hours, so I will make it a part two tomorrow. However, let me play this. Check it out. Now, right here, Crazy Legs, I forgot this dude's name, Grandmaster Ass, because he buck dancing. Tony Touch, VJ Whipple Whip. And we all know who this is, the legend Big Daddy Kane. This dickhead Tony Touch was not talking like that when Big Daddy Kane shut it all down. I just looked up the definition of hip-hop. I'm just going to read it instead of sharing my screen again. Okay, that's too much work anyway. It says, a style of popular music of U.S. Black and Hispanic origin. See what I'm saying? Something else has to be attached to our creation. It can't just be Black Americans, so we can be very specific. Just by ourselves. It should say a style of popular music created by U.S. Black Americans and later including influences of Hispanics and West Indian or Jamaicans or whatever. Why y'all, what's up with that? See, wording is everything. See what I'm saying? We all have to understand that what they're doing is all by design. Let's listen to what Big Daddy King has to say. But this nigga, Whipple Whip, that was on that live with Lord Jamal, which I'm not going to go watch. I don't care about it. He was saying some bullshit here. So, and this nigga on TMZ talking about hip-hop was started and created by immigrants. He said islanders. The specific words he said was islanders. But why you ain't say nothing when Big Daddy Kane had to say this?
It's your job description. You know,
and you really don't. And, like, you know, Crazy Legs is not capping because, you know, we have these conversations behind the scenes. I'm like, well, you know, this person is doing this and this. Explain him.
You know, just add on. I wanted to, just add on to what Tony Touch was saying. Before I do that, the Legs, listen. We all understand that you, Kaz, Whip, all y'all, Joe, y'all going to forget a lot of stuff because y'all dudes is getting old, man. Y'all old as shit now.
Hold on. Who's this, y'all? But you right in the motherfucker, though.
No. Me and Toka and John, we sure. seriously, though, on your side, though, just to clarify, so that don't get twisted around, you're absolutely right, Touch. This is the time period right now where a lot of stuff, you know, Black people want to clarify and clean up. You know what I'm saying? To understand, like, okay, this is what we created. This is what we did. You know what I'm saying? And that's only right, you know. But I will say this. Right now, so many people with no knowledge of what's going on with certain things that didn't backtrack, didn't study, didn't do their history, do the knowledge. So many people are trying to erase so many things that they're going to mess around and erase the history of it all. Yeah. Because it's like when you sit there, okay, but was you there in the beginning? Was you there at the... Okay, what's the beginning? This goes to add on to what Kaz was saying. You know what I'm saying? Okay, what's the beginning? You know what I'm saying? Like, was Crazy Legs the first B-boy? No. There were others before him. But when the world knew about breaking, it came about through Flashdance, Wild Style, Beach Street. You know what I'm saying? It became, you know, public to the world, public knowledge to the world because of what Crazy Legs and the Rocksteady Crew and the New York City Breakers brought to film, you know what I'm saying? So that's an important part that they did, you know what I'm saying? Was Prince Whipple Whip the first MC? No. But, you know, he could have been, I'm not sure, you know, you could have been, were you the first Spanish one?
The first Latin to make it happen in rapping? Let me see now.
You know, what I tell people is,
okay, there's a lot of Latinos throughout. Now, who touched the mic? Who's rocking the mic? I was rocking the mic in the 70s. But, like, there's a big thing. It was like when you said Ruby D, I was like, yo, well, big boy. I don't care who's first.
Okay, but either or, whether it's you or Ruby, my point is that, you know, there were other MCs for you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The person that may claim to be the first MC, there may have been someone before him. You know what I'm saying? When you start erasing history like that, then you end up with people saying, yeah, but what about the last poets? What about Dickie Markham? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what's happening when you
start
to erase the history and the culture. You know what I'm saying? Even with the DJs, you know what I'm saying? Were there DJs before her?
Yeah.
Of course there were. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, it's like, you know, with the culture, with what's happening with the culture, the contributions, you know what I'm saying? I mean, what hurt made it, the vision that hurt saw. You know what I'm saying? What the vision that Leg saw, the vision that you saw. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it's like, I think that so many of us try to erase certain things to solidify either their purpose or whatever the case may be, but you're going to mess around and erase the whole history of it. You know what I'm saying? And this is a conversation right here. What I'm saying to you right here, this is a conversation that I had with Kool Herc about the history of hip-hop. And I know y'all going to...
Everybody got something from somewhere, right? So when they start referencing, well, we were dancing, you know, few people came at me on the gram talking about the dancing that took place in the 40s and 50s, you know?
I saw that, huh?
And they were taking it to the floor and stuff.
Yeah.
That's just my point. No idea is original, you know what I mean? They weren't dancing to hip-hop, but they were dancing on the floor, so...
When you're erasing hip-hop history, that right there, what you just said, Touch, that's when you're erasing hip-hop history.
And that's right, Touch. You didn't see any fucking immigrants doing those moves in the 40s. They still was hitting the floor. They still was dancing. I'm gonna show you some moves that they did that was used in like hip hop break dancing that was done in the 40s. I'm gonna show you before I get off. But see, y'all wasn't present in those times, so you can't erase hip hop. But I love what Big Daddy Kane says a little bit after this.
You know what I'm saying? I got into hip hop in 1977 when I heard Master D from Brooklyn playing at a block party. And then from that point on, learning about the Furious Five, learning about Cold Crush, Kaz was my biggest inspiration. I ripped my whole first rap book up because I wanted to sound like him, you know. And to this very day, I'm sitting, like just a half an hour ago when you was on the phone with me, I still can out. Like, yo, I'm on the phone with Crazy Leg. I cannot, you know, and I remember taking my little...
Yeah, not alone.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I still fan out. You know, so I understand the importance of hip-hop, but I also understand the importance and the contributions that, you know, Puerto Ricans and Hispanics have made to this culture and the great things they did. And then the documentation by Joe Ponzo, if you don't want to see your chest, the documentation by Joe Ponzo, man, come on, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the history book right there that you created, Joe. So as far as I'm concerned, I got nothing but love for all the Hispanics that's involved in hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? And I realize and recognize your contributions. Much love to all the Hispanic people that's involved in hip-hop. Now, if y'all excuse me, I'm going to eat some Japanese sushi.
What? That's
why he's saying.
Not creation. Contributions. Not creation. Contributions. And when you heard him say about the book that he created, a book with all the list of the Hispanics that was in hip hop. That's what they created, the book of the Hispanics. We talking about hip hop. Not creation. Contributions. I'm not even gonna let it play out with this nigga Grandmaster Caz. He up there buck dancing. Lord Jamal, buck dancing. Lord Jamal, I guess he in his mind he probably fucked up because of what he stood on with Minister Farrakhan when he was on the Vlad shit. So now he's no longer on Vlad. So he's gonna make sure he don't put his foot in his mouth again. But remember, Grandmaster Cass said Puerto Ricans, we was over there in the handball courts on a damn turntable. They was on the marimbas and the fucking in the drums, which the drums don't even come from them. That comes from the African side of being enslaved. You understand what I'm saying? Ooh, this bitch is itching. It feels good, but this shit is itching. Ooh, that shit felt good, though. You understand what I'm trying to say? Cool Herc have to speak up. I'm going to go back. Hold on. No. We not letting up. Hold on, Cool Herc.
He had to get broken down and adapt to African-American culture.
What surprised you most about what the styles were when you got to New York? You know, were the clothes different? Were,
I didn't have the hip clothes either. I had on the hip clothes. I had on the aviator hat that pull over your ears and a flip up top. I had the wide corduroy jacket on. I looked straight like a hick. And then I had on, I love cowboy boots. I'm back in Jamaica and watching cowboy pictures. So I thought that, you know, cowboy boots was, you know, was the bomb. When I got in, got a pair of cowboy with the boots, this girl in high school, junior high school, teased me to death. He look at him, he got on Rose Killers. And she had the whole hallway to tear me up. Rose Killers and all that.
But they called your cowboy boots Roach Killers.
Yes, that is pointy toe. They called it, and it's pointy toe shoes like that. It was called Roach Killers. Okay, you can get in the corner and kill a roach with it.
And this is a very important footnote in hip-hop history. If you talk about hip-hop, this is a very important fact about hip-hop history as far as the culture of hip-hop. Fashion is part of culture. The culture of hip-hop, a lot of it has to do with the fashion and the style, the styling. And Kool Herc, who was not compatible with our hip-hop African-American culture.
And at school, I was playing very aggressive basketball. And, you know, this guy, people started putting nicknames on me. Lurds, Cyclops, Samson, and I shut it down quick. Don't do that. Don't call me that. My name is Clive. You know, call me that, or call me Cool. Forget about them big names, okay?
Cool Herc had to get broken into our culture. He had to adapt and, you know, he had to learn our culture.
And I'm going to start getting nice and more recognized, more hip.
They know all these styles with from
right.
We
expunged them.
Mm,
right, they copied
them. Right. So after Kool Herc adapted to our culture, Kool Herc started dressing more like the African American teenagers in the Bronx. You know, he started wearing the sheepskin. He started dressing like the cool kids, the popular kids. He started dressing hip hop.
Look at the picture. You had to get cool. Now look, he's smiling in the picture now. You Mr. Cool, call me Cool now. I'm trying to figure out who is this dude. I don't know if that's Coke LaRock, but look, Coke LaRock had glasses. But see, in the other picture, the other one, he had his glasses on. Cool Herc. You know he had to get his style from him. That's the American friend. He had to get broken in. That's our style, man. There's nothing that y'all done over there, dressing-wise or anything, that even influenced us, family. Can y'all, when are y'all going to stop?
Our style, African-American style of dress.
I'm going to start getting more recognized, more hip.
And embrace and adopt American culture.
Hip hop culture is what inspired Kool Herc to make hip hop music for the young teenagers going off on the dance floor. From my understanding, Kool Herc started going to the parties where the teenage gangsters was, where the black spades was. At that time, the teenagers, they had a thing about, you know, they used to call it going off. trying to outdo each other on the dance floor, you know, doing wild moves or whatever, trying to make each other look stupid. My understanding, Kool Herc was going to parties, and he was seeing the young teenage youth gangs in the party going off on the dance floor. It was the African-American youth gangs, you know, they was deep into the music that was used for the B-boys.
I said, wonder if I put that to myself. I said, they're waiting for this particular break, and I have a couple more records got the same breakup in it. I wonder how it would be if I put them all together. And I told them, I said, I'm going to try something new tonight. I'm going to call it the Mariner Rock. I started out with the dog. Steve Brown, James Brown, clap your hands, stomp your feet. And I'll part my day with a break. Boom. I have to come in with Bongo Rock. No vocals in it, and I will go to Baby Yui, the Mexicans.
We give Herc the credit for being the one who brought forth, you know, the breakbeats. You know, he concentrated on the breakbeats. So, you know, in that sense, Kool Herc is the one that really started hip-hop music, the music aspect of hip-hop culture.
You know what I mean? That energy.
But let's see, but he wasn't, but he really wasn't the first one that was doing the merry-go-rounds or scratching either. He just pays attention to that part in that section. They were Grandmaster Flash was, I mean, excuse me. DJ Mario was doing it. Did you hear the dude from X-Men as well saying that? You understand what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, the rapping and all of that, his contribution is a great contribution. Oh, shit. Oh, I'm about to say, I thought I was fucking muted again. That's what I'm saying, Darius. Mario was already extending it because he's already, he had to adapt to the B-Boys. Mario was already adapting to the B-Boys years prior, to the fucking E, man. He just, DJ Mariner was already, Charlie Rock, he already said it, that Mario was catering to the B-Boys, to the gangsters, to the gang members, and that's what they was doing. That was the young code of the streets. This nigga Kool Herc, he had to see, to be around, to grow up and to adapt, to get forced to adopt as a culture and get influenced to want to be a DJ, see certain things that's going on. Everybody would come in the Bronx there to see what the fuck was going on. When there was a party, because there wasn't too much stuff going on. They had heroin. Heroin was fucking up the community, not as bad as crack. So they would travel to these other places. You know what I'm saying? Listen. He's getting credit for something that was already done before. He just capitalized on it. And what when you cater to the youth, when you cater to the shit that's hip, everybody's gonna be like, I got a spot. Yo, the new name is Kool Herc, but Kool Herc is on the west side. So it's what's gonna be popular in that particular area. She was popping all the way over here by Brunsdale and everybody coming over there. So he took what was already known and done over here, he took it to on his side. He started doing his own little one-twos. And then he catered to what was popular. He catered to the youth. He catered to the B-Boys. And what all B-Boys going to want to have their own little clubhouse or their place where they could go party at. And everybody is going to come because they know this is the new, this is the hip, this is the style, this is what's in. This is what's cool. This is what's the shit. All of that. So they all going to come there. So that shit going to be popular within the community because you're catering to what's happening now. And he said, oh, well, I'm going to try something new tonight. That's just a fairy tale fucking story to add on to the story. But I don't believe none of that shit, especially not now. We have to stop giving these motherfuckers credit. They don't deserve the credit, and we ain't going to give them none. We have to stop that shit now. We have to stop now. He learned from Mario, man. Y'all niggas were spectators. How you just learned that shit out the blue? Who made you wanted to be? These are the right questions. Who you learned from? Who hurt? Who was the DJ that you was like, that's what I want to be? Because you just wanted to be a DJ from when? Stop. I'm tired of this shit now. I'm really tired. Little greyhound face Pete Rock. Little fuck Buster. Fuck all. I'm Gucci time. I'm just Gucci. I'm good. They have to speak up. They got to speak up. I don't know if anybody called in. All right, good. Let me find it first, and then I'll share my screen.
I'll put it like this. I started out.
Remember, I just showed y'all the Latino. It all started from Black Americans. Oh, yeah, let me show you this real quick. Let me show y'all. Fucking haters. Haterator. Haters, man. It's all hate. This is the style. Look, check out this breakdancing style right here. And check out the rhyme too. Look how he rhyme. Hold on, let me bring it back. They rhyming as while they talking. Check it out.
Look here, children. Now how come? This your barbecue looks so dumb. Say, yeah, sister, you ain't dumb.
How come?
We were dancing for the fuck. Fucky band done stood up.
No jive and no jumping. Well, I guess this calls for something.
Y'all hear the rhyme? Check it out right here. Look. See that? Hold on, let me make sure, because I'll be fucking up. Hold on. I'll be fucking up. Am I on mute? Right, I'm not on mute. Y'all seen that, right? Y'all seen that, right? And when they talk and they rhyming, they rhyming. You the fuck. Hey, why are you fucking up? Yeah, man, like, come on, son. There's nothing in y'all culture has ever done that. Nothing in your culture has ever been done like that. What did we get from you, man? Try to figure this one out. Help me help you. Let me help you help me. What? I'm trying to figure this one out. Help. Get the fuck out of here, man. And what's the name of those brothers again? What the brothers that was jumping down the stairs with the splits? I forgot their name. The dude was the dance instructor on the Five Heartbeats. What's the brother's name? The shit that was back in the 50s and 60s? What's their name? It's the something brothers. God damn it, Darius. Let me pull them up right now. Trying to figure this one the fuck out. Y'all niggas over here talking fucking ridiculous, man. It is nothing about y'all motherfuckers show this any motherfucking thing. Hold on, goddammit. Wait, hold on, hold on. The Nicholas brothers, the Nicholas brothers, the fucking Nicholas brothers. Excuse me, the Nicholas brothers. Let's talk about it. The Nicholas brothers. I'm trying to figure out where the rest of y'all niggas. What was y'all doing? I'm trying to figure this one out. Read my post, what, Foxy Brown? You telling me? Okay, hold on. But check it out. Thank you, everybody, for your contributions inside the chat, putting in those names. Let's talk about it. Y'all niggas better go ahead with that shit. What was that? I'm not gonna say it. I'm gonna do it. Y'all just give me a second right now. I just want to see something. I'm just looking at something. Hold on, I just want to see something. But before I even show you, this is random. This is just random right now. This is just random. So just work with me. I just want to show something. I just want to figure this out. Hold on. I just want to see something. I don't care. Y'all going to wait.
In this training, we're going to talk about the biggest mistakes people make while setting up their Google.
Y'all probably have a feeling of what I'm doing. Yeah, I dance and don't see no dancing. I'm trying to see what it was like over there in these countries that claims to be hip hop in the 1930s. I'm trying to look for the dances. I don't see any of that there. Only thing I'm seeing is our shit. So I'm sorry. And the dances back then was so fucking crazy, yo. The swing.
Look
at this. I'm just digging, rub something down. Wait, hold on. Just a little bit. Yeah, man. That's that shit that was, you roll the dream, when you do look at, hold on. Let me blow it up. What's up? What's up? Somebody tell me something. I want to know what code. Somebody tell me something. That's not Jamaican music playing. That is not Marine Gay music playing. Or whatever it is. I ain't trying to make fun. I'm just putting y'all niggas in y'all place. Look at that. Come on, son. Hold on, so that. That shit is crazy. Not one kick in the face accident, like James said. You see what I'm saying? Somebody tell me what influence again? What big influence again? I need somebody to call in from somewhere else. No FBAs. Everybody else to give me something. You little crusty looking Pete Rock, kicked in the face, looking like a thumb Busta Rhymes, big bobblehead Fat Joe. Show me something. Yeah, I'm saying it because we you're trying to erase us out of our culture, son. Somebody give me something. And our dances in 1930, that shit was like, that dance in the 1930s, that swinging shit, that should be the year 2038 kind of dancing. That was some futuristic shit. Am I still on camera? The shit that we was doing in the 30s is the year 3000 dancing. Y'all really don't think so? Look at that shit. That's beyond light years. That dance should be, that shit should be the shit that nigga's doing right now, but in our own little twist, that shit is some shit. That was incredible. That's not even a joke. That's facts. That's plain acrobatical magic. That's the 1930s. Look at all that energy. And even the girls is holding the men upside down, son. What the fuck is y'all talking about, man? What influence, y'all? Can any of y'all from there call in and tell me something? Can I get a video? Can I get a song? Nah, I'm so serious. I'm not even fucking jobbing right now. You got me talking jobbing right now, nigga. I'm not even jobbing with you right now. The Mills Brothers, no swing dance and all that crazy shit. No, I'm honestly what they was doing. I'm gonna put some things together, man. Just put it this way: what y'all was doing then was not what we was on. Well, I probably could say in Jamaica because we were so much that influence. Matter of fact, I'm gonna have to play that video, man. And this is gonna be my closing video. This is the closing video. Y'all seen it, but I have to play it again. This is my closing video right now. Cause I'm tired of this shit. I'm really tired. I'm tired. All these niggas in hip hop is punks. They are punks. These niggas is beating around the bush. Fuck dancing. That's why you always know the real, everybody's a killer to a real killer steps in the room. Everybody's the coolest until Mr. Cool come in the room. Everybody's a real one to the real ones come in the room. That's why they have to keep the real niggas out. The inventors, the creators, the real niggas. Fake niggas running this shit. They keep the real niggas out because they know that they're going to get stripped away from the stuff that they celebrated for. So that's why I have to salute Michael Wayne TV. I need everybody to subscribe to Michael Wayne TV. I've never been a hater, man, to nobody. I want everybody to succeed. But it's a lot of niggas that I know that don't want me to succeed. I already know. I've seen it. I don't just go talk about it. I know. It's just all good. It's going to happen anyway. Believe that. And I don't care what you believe. It's about me at the end of the day. What I know how I feel. So it is what it is. I want to see footage. I want to see some receipts. That's what I want to see, receipts. Because the real niggas with the real history that was there, they are not getting the attention that they need. They are cherry picking. Bitch ass Busta Rhymes, bitch ass fucking Pete Rock, bitch ass Flash, and bitch ass fucking Hurt. These niggas is not going to speak up. They only going to talk shit where they don't have to respond to people. No, y'all need to get under the fire, under the microscope, under these motherfucking real questions, and we want receipts. They don't have none. All they have is their mouth. The real ones is being cast to the side, condemned, overlooked. I'm going to close on this because damn near going on 4 hours. But at the end of the day, y'all have to stop. Where's it at? And shout out to Dane Calloway for doing the video on this and when he called into the show and he used my you know what we spoke about and some of the stuff that I was speaking about. So much salute to Dane Calloway, real shit. So salute to him on that. I appreciate it. Hold on, I'm just trying to find a specific one and we're gonna end on that. Yo, I watched the movie. It's a good movie. It's called Brotherhood of Death in 1976. Yo, That's a great movie. Look up Brotherhood of Death, 1976, that movie. That was a good movie. I literally watched the whole hour and 17 minutes. It was a good movie about some fucking, these fucking Ku Klux Klan and shit, but the brothers got they ass. I'm not going to tell you how, but that movie was really good. 1976. I was surprised my goddamn self. Hold on. Let me find this shit so we get up out of here. It was so much shit that I played. So much. I think this is it. Here it is right here. Here it is. Shout out again. Shout out to, even though I was using this before, I knew of him, but still, he edited to where I don't have to play the whole thing and pause it and all that. Again, I have to give respect when respect due, man. Shout out to Michael Wayne TV. So we're going to go to this, and this is it. I'm tired of y'all right now. Not y'all, the fakers. You know what I mean? The imitators. We're not going to listen to all this shit. We're gonna skip.
If you had real skills and you really wanted to test yourself to see where you at, go get hurt. Because
that's
where
shit, I'm afraid.
From my understanding, the best break dancers in the Bronx and the best break dancers in New York City, Harlem, they came to Kool Herc parties. You know what I'm saying? So we give Kool Herc the credit for that, for being the one who catered to the break beats for the teenagers. Hip hop dance, break dance, b-boying, that's freaking culture. Break dance began as a strictly African American culture.
They're trying to say that hip hop came from Caribbean culture.
No,
it did. It was it a Caribbean feel?
No.
In the street, right.
Did you hear that piece? Did you hear that piece?
Right.
Well, none of that was that hurts. None of that was that hurts. Everything was Black American.
Black American.
Black American.
You know, shout out to the original break dancers. I finally found them. If anybody familiar with Michael Wayne TV, my very first video, that's what I asked Michael Wayne. I asked Fat Mike. I said, you know, was y'all the first break dance? You know, if Fat Mike, being honest, he didn't really know who started break dancing. But I'm glad to say I finally found the first break dancers at Kool Herc Party.
Was y'all the first break dancers, though? Who started that? As far as I know.
No. No. No.
Who
breakdancing came from a variety all over in different parts of the Bronx. I can't tell you exactly where it started at,
exactly
where it started here. We were doing breakdancing. We were doing wild. Right down, we used to call it wild dance.
But I'm glad to say I finally found the first breakdancers at Kool Herc Party. Shout out to all my African Americans on the west side of the Bronx, University Avenue, Burnside Avenue, Coombs, Sedgwick Avenue. You know, from my understanding, this is where breakdance really took form. Breakdance began as a strictly African-American culture.
All right, yeah. Really?
Now, mind you, hold on, I'm on mute. I mean, I'm off mute. Mind you, it was already B-Boys that was at the BJ Mario's place. So you have to understand that I think Bronxdale's on the south side or something like that of the Bronx. This is on the west side of the Bronx, where Kool Herc copied what was going on in Bronxdale and Riverdale Park. He was copying off of that. They was already catering to the B-Boys when he was breaking. Charlie Chugger, however you say his name, was already said that. We've seen 2 hours of this shit already. You understand what I'm saying? So he was copying that. So when he took that shit to where he was at over there on the west side of the Bronx, Bronx River and all that, I guess, whatever that part was, he catered to the B-Boys of that area. So the first one in that area in Kool Herc's parties, because he was catering to it. And like I said, when you catering to the shit that's the now was hip and the teens who really controls the generation is the young ones coming up, because they're the one that make things new and hip in the second and third, it becomes bigger because everybody has somewhere to go now. We have a DJ who is catering to us, the B-Boys. Yeah, you dig what I'm saying? So he's the first one on that side, but check what he said anyway.
You want to know about this thing called hip-hop that the West Side created.
Okay.
Like that,
okay, 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 okay.
Because they had the first breakdance. I'm talking about we went down to the floor, we did deep, I mean, we did our thing.
Rosedale Park.
When you ask Trixie, when you ask the original dancers who was at her party, they make it clear. It had nothing to do with Jamaica. It had nothing to do with Caribbean culture or any of that.
Was her representing Jamaica? Like, did she have dreadlocks?
No, she didn't have dreadlocks. She had low hair, dreadlocks. I did.
He was dressing like y'all.
He was dressing like us.
Like African American.
Real African American.
Okay.
He didn't play no Jamaican music.
Now let me ask you now, when Kool Herc would start playing that,
Anthony played slow music too.
Would he play reggae?
Nah, he wasn't a reggae guy.
Wasn't a reggae guy.
He wasn't a reggae guy because at that time, you know, reggae wasn't pop. We wasn't feeling reggae.
Right. He wasn't feeling reggae.
At least not the upcoming. So we never seen him with a reggae album.
He was like mixing in with y'all then.
All the way, man.
He was mixing with African Americans.
Like, we was amazing. Like, what we were doing, our style, our finesse,
right.
How we carried ourselves. Name of the Jamaican artist was,
Bob Marley?
But he ain't say no, Bob Marley.
Okay.
Bob Marley was not in the... No.
Okay.
Never did God admit everybody go out. Right.
I want to shout out the original breakdancers. And you know, it's very interesting. Why is it that the original breakdancers never hardly get any recognition or credit for what they did? You know, Kool Herc, you know, he generated the music for them, but it was them, it was the dancers who was actually creating moves on the dance floor. To me, they should get just as much as credit as Kool Herc. Why is it that they are kept, like, unheard of? You don't really hear of the original breakdancers.
So in the Rocksteady crew, Crazy Legs and the Rocksteady crew, them niggas came in the 80s. These are Johnny Come Latelys. And their faces was on after the movies. Beat Street and all that shit. That's when it became global. So they already jumped on a bandwagon after, and they was at the right place at the right time to be on the goddamn screen. So that is their documentation of where they can say they started the B-Boys or whatever, which is not true. That's why the real motherfuckers, it be the ones who actually create things, the ones that was really there, who has the stories, who knows what happened, those are the ones that always get shunned, because it's always the one who wanted the imitators is always the ones that be taking the credit. And there's always somebody in the corner watching, admiring and hating at the same time, wanting to be you and take credit. And that's fucked up.
At Kool Herc party. And my message to Chuck D is, you know, when you talk to the original dancers who was at Kool Herc party, they say a totally different thing. You know, it wasn't no Jamaican culture coming to the Bronx starting hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no Caribbean culture coming to the Bronx starting hip-hop. You know, we've always respected Chuck D. A lot of us has always respected Chuck D as, you know, accurate with information, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, to be trusted, information to be trusted. And Kool Herc is indeed the first one who brought the two turntables and a microphone to New York City. Then great, you know what I'm saying, and Chuck D is right. And
but that's not true.
You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, but that's not true.
To America. And
here is where we just, again, I've been doing this since 11 months. I can say a year now. Just check out the pioneers. Let's see who is behind whose culture. I'm going to keep playing this and keep playing this because I said that our culture is, our hip-hop is from your culture. We have every right with documented proof, not just hearsay, that your culture derived from mine. Who imitated who wanted to be and dress like who. Remember, y'all, they was ruled by the Spaniards, and then for decades ruled by the British. They just had their independence no more than, I could probably say, close to 60 years now. I may be off by a few or less years, but y'all just got y'all freedom. But that whole time, y'all was still Americanized because y'all was listening to American music, rhythm and blues. Y'all didn't have, the ones that's in the mountains that's still beating on the drum and they have their own little African spiritual reality connected to it, but no outside influence, because they were the uptown people. They didn't like the downtown people. Because the downtown people in Jamaica, the ones that's outside dancing and all that, they are adapting to an American culture. So that culture is new to the ones that's up in those damn mountains, the uptown people. The downtown people is dancing to rhythm and blues. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all did not find yourself culturally yet, man. I'm going to say it again, and I'm saying it respectfully. How you take it, that's your fault. How I mean it and how you taking it is two different things. But my attitude is really, I don't give a fuck anyway, but I'm being sincere. Y'all didn't find yourself culturally, musically, yet. Because I was still being freed from being colonized and being adapted to our music. So our music was your influence. Our style of dressing, how we did things musically and creatively, period. Y'all admire that. Who culture influenced who? That is the question. Trevor and bitch-ass Pete Rock. Fat Joe. I ain't forgetting about your ass either. That niggas was dancing to a whole other tune, Fat Joe. And y'all couldn't stand black people. Not you per se, because your whole persona is black culture. Your whole persona has nothing to do, had nothing to do with Cuba. Even though that's a predominantly dark-skinned island. See, y'all niggas want to be black when y'all want to. You can come when you want to, black when you want to, front or you want to, all that shit. Anyway.
And that's what started hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? From my understanding, the Jamaican pioneers who started toasting actually got toasting from our American elders.
I came back and changed that. That's a toasting, you know.
Did you get that idea from America?
America.
You know what I'm saying? It was America who was making rhymes and MCing on microphone. What they used to call jive talk, you know what I'm saying? And then the Jamaicans copied it and they called it toasting. To Chuck D, my message to Chuck D is, you know what I'm saying? We respect your history, you know, trust you, you know, with the information. But let's just get the information correct. Let's not spread more lies and more rumors and false information and this hip-hop holy trinity. Let's not deify men.
Dance music. Soul and funky was kept.
Thank you, Nicole and Elena, Alana.
And this is the beginning of what they call the Holy Trinity. This is the beginning of what they call the Holy Trinity. DJs, Kool Herc, and then
can y'all hear loud enough? Is it echoing?
This hip hop Holy Trinity. Let's not deify men. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here to deify any pioneer, Mario or any pioneer. I'm not here to deify or put one pioneer over the rest. Because for me, it's all about the masses of us. It's all about the masses of us coming to agreement and moving in one organized direction. My message to Chuck D is let's get the information correct. And Kool Herc is the one who brought that to New York. Then please let Kool Herc teach us so we can all learn together the right way. And like I say, it's all about cross reference. Whatever Kool Herc says, believe it's going to be cross-referenced with other elders who was around at that time.
Check it out, man. This is just the nail in the coffin. The nail in the coffin. This is a funeral service. Anyway, let's continue on.
Be with us. Listen to Adrian Warwick's song and try to sing it exactly as Adrian did it.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry, just cry with me. Walk on by.
If you are a group, you try to study the Supreme Matteries and the Vandellas.
I find it lonely for you.
stores, we would want to go and see them because they have something to teach us.
I always stop on that point because that, and look what it says, Jamaica's music pioneers, Caribbean West Indians. These are their pioneers from their time. And remind you, all their music that they was doing, they got more Americanized music because they were doing covers of our music. They have more covers of doing our music than what we have of doing covering their music. They got a whole list of archives of doing our music. Huh? I'm still in love. I still love the culture. I still love it. I still got jerk chicken left right now. Jerk chicken, macaroni and cheese, and rice and peas. And that shit is almost gone. I got to take a shit now. But listen to what she just said. When people come from abroad, we go see them because they have something to teach us. See, they kept it real then. I respect y'all pioneers for keeping it real, but somehow in this day and age, these millennials, old heads, got too comfortable and forgot. These are the stubborn kids. These are the stubborn, imitating, dick-riding, jealous motherfuckers. These are not the humble, respectful, honorable, spiritual people from back then that just gave it up like, yo, listen, man, we got our own shit, but we was influenced by this. We loved their music because we felt they was a part of us. They had something to teach us. I respected people back then because they was respectful. It was love. It was understanding. Each one always had to teach one. Steel always what? Sharpen steel. No egos. But I bring it back. My condolences.
If there was a group who comes, we would want to go and see them because they have something to teach us.